rip each other off. It can just be, as it was in the beginning, a handy tool for exchanging goods. You know, it could be money, could be anything.
Sure.
You know, because of course it isn't real in the first place.
Exactly.
It's just, we all just collectively believe in it because that's essentially what we're told to do.
Yeah.
From the beginning. It's just there. It's always there. Just like the church is always there. It's always been there. You know, kind of a thing. It's just in the background, but it's part of what then has a long-term impact on shaping our way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good thing about the reflective state as well, is it helps you disconnect from not just overt mind control, but subtle manipulation, you know, long-term controls that maybe initially you never even noticed because it's been there since the day you were born, just as part of the backdrop of the world.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be able to, as you said before, Chris, to kind of really zoom out, you know, way, way far back and get the whole perspective on things so you can actually observe yourself and look at yourself from another perspective and see, you know, am I being, you know, controlled here by different forces? Am I really in my own center? Am I true to myself? Am I the one who I'm really supposed to be, you know, and get that perspective? And when you do that, I think there will be more difficult for the control freaks to add their manipulation, if you will, upon you, the mind control or the indoctrination or the, you know, levels of schooling, you know, what have you.
Yeah, because it's your reaction that makes you have something to do with it, is what gives you, you're like, in your reacting, you hand over control. You give them a part of your energy. So I liked what you said earlier. It's not cold position. It's a cool position.
Yeah.
It's relaxed position. It's a state of rest. And if you look at everything with that eye, and, you know, nothing is going to find its way in that's going to corrupt your energy field. You know, you can see it and see whether you want to accept it or not, because you have enough space inside of yourself that's just your space, that inner sanctuary. Or, you know, that's why it's important to do sometimes the sitting meditation. You know, it's hard to do. You know, I know why people don't do it, because as soon as they sit, they get pulled out and want to do something else. Well, yeah. I'm bored. I'm going to turn on the TV, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to, you know, I mean, if you sit down there and you just sit, you know, you're going to see that in no time, you're going to start getting fidgety, or you're going to want this or want that. But if you kind of break through that and just say, okay, I'm going to sit 20 minutes no matter what I feel like, you know, that helps start, one, showing you what's going on, and two, getting you that and space from it.
Yeah.
You know, because in seeing it, how can you see it if it's out? You know, you can only see if it's outside of you somehow. You've got that, seeing it gives you that space. It's out there, you know, and getting everything in its proper place out there, then that calm, that's what, why they say silence in Zen. That's why they say stillness is the way. And that's why they talk of a peace which passeth understanding, because it's just at rest. It's calm.
I want to have, I want to rather touch upon two different points, Chris, before we begin to round things up here. One is if you have any tips basically on, you know, if there's any great or good kind of Zen philosopher, if you will, out there to recommend, either if we talk about for reading or for, you know, video lectures that are available online that people can kind of search for and continue a little bit of the exploration for themselves. Any recommendations or tips?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple recommendations. I liked Osho's take on it. Osho helped me see many angles of it, and that was my big introduction to it in a way. But I also read all the traditional Zen books, you know. Teach Nhat Hanh books are excellent. They're complete, you know, a very different approach, but it's good to get many different approaches of it so you don't think there's one approach to it. I mean, that's the whole point. There isn't an approach. It's Zen.
Right.
You know, but these people are good at indicating that, or giving you, reminding you of that, but also giving you practices or slowing things down, or just giving you little triggers that will help you have these little breakthrough moments where you'll be free of the mind and you'll feel this energy pouring in and you'll start expanding. And then you'll be like, wow, you know, you'll start seeing the present moment. You know, I know many of you are already having some of these experiences. So I like to Osho and I like teach Nahan, and I like to go back to the old school Zen masters. Whenever I see Zen master this guy, Zen master that guy, I love to read all those different books because it's just, again, many different ways to indicate the Zen experience. And it kind of roots you in the tradition if you read the old school Zen masters. You know, you take a modern approach with it, but in the tradition, I think the backstory is a big part of it too, you know. Why would the old school master jump and shake the other student until the student finally awoke? Or, you know, they'll give you some crazy Zen koan to ponder upon. And hey, I think it's good to do all these different things, you know, to just try them out, check them out. You know, of course, to me, Tao and Zen are not different, really. I mean, they're different, slightly different connotations, but I see them essentially as being one. And so I like, of course, Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu and some of the Taoist masters. And, you know, I say read all the traditions and all the New Age books and everything you can get your hands on. Just keep space from it all.
Yeah.
Just allow it all to fill in parts of the picture that you resonate with. Put together your own synergy. You know, you let these different things be guides for you in your own experience. You know, always remember that it's really about you and your experience, and these books and these teachers and these creations are tools, are experiments. It's an ongoing experiment that we're all a part of called life.
Indeed. And the last point also I wanted to talk with you about, Chris, is the your book, of course, Ruminations of the Universe, Chris. We haven't mentioned that before, I think, on the show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was finished up nicely a few months ago. And my writing is just like what I've been saying. I try to open up and allow, you know, being a trumpet player, and then I, you know, play jazz and I play like bebop sometimes, and I say that my writing is almost like bebop. You know, I write these musical phrases. I try to use language in a crafty and creative way, and it's my contribution to the kind of, you know, I talk about some of the things like we talked about today and many different ways of you know, unraveling the mind and finding these spaces and what you might find once the process is underway, and, you know, just everything you can imagine, auras and chakras and past lives and third eye realizations and dreams and different aspects of the occult or pure meditation or art, creativity. I cover a wide range of things because I just want to share my experience and allow it for you to just simply be exposed to in case something in it speaks to you. But I'm very happy with it, and the word is from people who've read it so far that they've enjoyed it a lot, and it's helped trigger some experiences and been a facilitator, and they've enjoyed it. So I'm happy to recommend picking up a copy of Ruminations of the Universe.
Excellent. And of course you have other books and CDs, of course, available. And I guess, you know, to get a copy of either your book or some of your CDs, the easiest way is to go to your website, right? You have a shop set up there or something?
Yeah, go to my website, and some of the links are right on the front page, like to the books, Pearly Gates Press as well, my first big book there. And also, yeah, go to the gift shop, check it out. See, I have some of my art prints on there, some of the uplifting spiritual artistic prints, and you can see some of what my creative expression was as I took my steps into the unknown. And yeah, there's a wide variety of things. There's music and t-shirts and some fun stuff. So yeah, check out the gift shop.
Brilliant. The website again, of course, is creativecosmos.org, and Chris has a lot of excellent articles up there for you to go into and dive further into. I mean, I've always kind of liked the way that you can, you know, if you will, kind of explain sometimes very kind of difficult concept, spiritual concept, in a very easy way, down to earth, and kind of leave you with examples that makes, at least to me then, a whole lot of sense. So I definitely encourage you to head on over to Chris' website. Again, that's creativecosmos.org. Check out some of the articles. Take a look around in the shop and check out some of the book titles and CDs that Chris has up there for you. Chris, we got to have you back on the program sooner than we had last time, okay? We need to have you back here in a month or two and do this again, okay?
Let's do it. Yeah, we're still young lads out here, just getting warmed up. We're a lot more to go. So
absolutely, you're definitely right. Thank you. Thank you very much again, Chris, for coming on. Take good care, and we'll talk later, okay?
Thank you.
That concludes our program with Christopher Morse. As always, thank you very much for listening. It's great having you with us. My thanks to producer Fredrik Palmgren. Don't forget Red Eyes Live. Video and audio feeds. Our guest is Daniel Tatman. On Sunday the 28th, that's this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. GMT. Don't miss it. Take good care. We'll see you soon.